What's up, queens? Welcome to the Female Dating Strategy Podcast, the meanest female only podcast on the internet. I'm Ro.
And I'm Savannah. And before we get into this episode, I just want to say we were absolutely overwhelmed by the number of responses that we had to our call out for new podcast hosts. It was really cool to see such a range of applications from different women from different backgrounds. So we are working through the application. So if you have applied, please look out for an email from Ro and myself regarding the next steps. But it's all really exciting. I'm really excited.
Yes. So we'll be following up with some people who've applied in the next few weeks or so. So stay tuned if you did apply. Okay. Welcome to another roast a scrote / follow up / queen shit / I don't know.
Yeah.
Patreon subscriber submissions. Grab bag.
These are always one of my favorite episodes to do because it's nice to hear from our audience about, I guess, their FDS triumphs and FDS woes as well, because none of us are perfect. So if you do have an L that we share on the podcast, it's life. We've all been there. So thank you all for sharing your stories with us. It's humbling.
All right. So the first story we have is actually a follow-up to our 4th of July barbecue.
Well, we barbecued the scrote.
Yeah, we barbecued the scrote because he was trying to explain from his point of view how he ended up in a neat and a coomer.
Yes.
So just to follow up, here's an update about that person. I'm trying to remember all the details of that specific story.
I remember the gist of it when he was like, I don't understand why my family was so mean to me.
He was a NILF. That's what it was. I found the old roast to scrote that we did. So this guy, just to jog everyone's memory, listened to our bonus content about being a NILF and then wanted to clear up some of the questions about how a lot of young men today are ending up NILFs, because there's obviously a growing rise of men who are not in education, not in the labor force, not basically doing anything. And the question was like, what happened? And a lot of the research that we were finding was pretty inconclusive. It looks like a lot of the social sciences are just trying to drill down and figure out what happened right now. But this guy's basically lived the NILF life, was trying to give us some quote insight about his behavior and his motivations for being a NILF. And this is the one where his family was yelling at him and stuff like that. So, okay, so.
Yes. So he starts and says, I just listened to the 4th of July barbecue episode. You two were super sweet and nice. I appreciate all of the advice and criticism, and thank you for taking it easy on me. I took some notes and have some responses. See, this is why, like, men can take a quiet and emotional battering.
See, look at this, man. I'm proud of you. Getting pen and paper out, writing notes, listen, taking it seriously, because we are here to help, by the way. It doesn't help anybody for this to be a bunch of NILFs running around. Like, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. And I've always maintained, like, if like men were actually smart and not in their fields, something like FDS would actually help them, because it's like the cheat sheet to having a happy relationship and getting the woman that they actually want. But that's an aside. And he does timestamps, each referring to each point that we made during the original episode. So at 10:40, he asked, so how did I burn the bridges? I don't do any drugs. Yeah, but doing drugs isn't the only way to burn a bridge if you're a male. That's one thing. Like, I don't know why people seem to think you have to be a drug dealer before no one wants to deal with you anymore. But I did consider myself a porn addict, a YouTube addict, a video game addict, an emotional binge eater.
It's like a dopamine addict.
Yeah. And ultimately, I don't know why men don't understand this, but if somebody is a coomer, it comes out in the way they behave. Like, they just have this energy and this outlook on life that is deeply, deeply unappealing and unattractive as well.
I think a lot of men are legitimately unable to mentally process the modern world at this point. Like, I know that might seem morbid, but in the sense that it's so easy for them to get into these rabbit holes of just dopamine hits constantly, 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 and never shake themselves out of it. So when you hear someone who's like an addict to all sorts of types of media and an emotional binge eater, like, this is a person without an off switch and probably honestly needs to be medicated. I mean, that is like a dig. I mean, that is a generally, like, at this point, if you can't do it through sheer willpower, you probably need some kind of medication to help your brain reset itself and for you to be able to stop falling down all these rabbit holes. Like, you know, maybe you have ADHD or something.
And you know, purely from a family standpoint, people want to be around other people they can socialize with, especially in a family unit where even though you may not have been actively, I guess, like contributing to distress, by you being then sort of being a non-entity in the household, that's also going to drag them down as well. And it's not going to make them think very highly of you either.
Yeah. And the other thing too, and kind of to go back to my earlier point where I think it's specifically bad with men, is that any one of these things, if they were taking over your life like this, most people would just delete the app and then make sure like, man, this is taking too much of my time. Let me do something else. Because that's how I've reacted. Like when Twitter started to get kind of nuts, I just basically stopped going on Twitter.
Yeah, I just logged off. Yeah.
It does seem like guys like this, like they can't really turn it off. I don't know. I've kind of been in places like that where I've just been really emotionally invested in something I couldn't, but I shouldn't be. But yeah, this sounds like maybe you need some chemical help.
Then he continues, and so I never did anything illegal and I was never violent. In fact, I would just be in my room and never come out because of shame. Again, like being around an addict is very, very draining and distressing for the people around said addicts. Like it's not about whether you were violent or doing something illegal. It's just the fact that you don't really seem to be understanding the impact your addictions, your multiple addictions, like had on your family members. And the impact can be profound as well. I would always eat alone in my room because I didn't want them to see me. And my family would often joke that we thought that maybe you were a rotting corpse in there because we haven't seen you in a week. And they would all be laughing at me, LOL. And I would never even speak. They would be yelling at me and I would just take it. I never responded and I never said a word back. But basically, they gave me chance after chance after chance and I would fail each time for years. And you wonder why they don't want to speak to you anymore.
I mean, I feel like if he was actively engaged with his family, maybe they'd be a little bit more forgiving. It's just that he's just kind of in his room not dealing with life or not dealing with his family members. Now, I mean, it's tough because on one hand, like I said, I feel bad for anybody who comes from a toxic family. It doesn't sound like they were overly toxic, at least from this description. It sounds like they're just sort of tired of you just being a leech on everybody. It's clear for whatever reason you didn't enjoy the environment you were in, but then it was kind of up to you to find a way to get out of there. And you didn't take those opportunities. So I think, again, just to juxtapose this guy versus another queen shit actually got from a Patreon subscriber who had a very similar family dynamic where they were just kind of picking on her, like that motivated her to get her shit together and get her own place, where it just seems like this guy just decided to just retreat and do nothing and like almost like a learned helplessness. A lot of these things, like you definitely probably need a therapist for to figure out what happened. Like I said, it's probably a mixture of just, I mean, again, I'm not a biologist, but I mean, people that talk about dopamine depletion being a chemical thing, as well as like really, really poor social skills and emotional coping skills, which I don't think anybody's going to be able to teach you outside of a professional, and or like just trial and error. I mean, you got to throw yourself at a bunch of stuff until you figure it out. But I think a therapist and some, I don't know, balls would help you. Sack up, my friend. Actually, yeah, no, fuck balls. They're like, whatever, squishy and annoying. Ovary up.
And I would fail each time for years because I would be like, okay, I'm going to start looking for a job this month. And then when the month was up, I still didn't do it. So what I meant by I burned all my bridges was that they were tired of giving me chances for multiple years. They had no more patience and wanted me gone. And I am not young either, but luckily I'm not like the 40-year-old neat though. Yeah, it sounds like you weren't far off.
I'm trying to figure out how many years this is too. I wish it was...
But this is what I mean. Like, again, as I said in the original episode, like most family members, especially their male children, they don't just cut them off like willy-nilly. There's usually a lot more to the story. And, you know, the OP has even said himself, like they gave him chance after chance for many, many years until they just had enough.
I really want to know how old this guy is specifically, because I think there's a difference between the job market for millennials and the job market for Gen Z. Both are bad. Don't get me wrong. But at least I feel like with millennials, there was hope at the time that like, hey, if you work hard, you can get your own place. You can do this for yourself. Where it feels like a lot of Gen Z is just given up and that like they feel like, oh, the deck stacked against me. So I'm not trying. I'm not going to do anything. And it almost seems like this guy just decided nothing was going to work before he even tried, and or just has no follow through, no discipline or anything. And I'm not saying any of those things are easy, but I'm also saying like, this is like very, very bad and you won't be able to take care of yourself at all and survive as an adult.
I mean, it's not easy, but it's also basic adulting as well. I mean, obviously people might be neurodivergent and that's fine. But what I often find in the discourse around being neurodivergent, it's like very often used as an excuse for men, whereas women are just expected to just get on with it and to be able to, you know, keep a job and to do everything that they're supposed to do, like regardless of if they're neurodivergent or not. So whilst that could potentially be a reason, it's not an excuse. Okay, so he refers to what we said at 12:50 in the previous episode and says that I had plans, and to be honest, I had everything I needed because I was a college dropout with a 4.0 GPA. So I could pick any field of study I wanted and I would have passed with perfect grades. I just never acted on my plans. This is all hypothetically speaking, like unless you actually went to college and did the course, you don't actually know if you would have been able to pass all of them. And sometimes that's the more attractive option, is that when you say, oh, I had plans, but I just didn't do them, we can then fill in the gaps as to what would have happened had we actually pursued that plan.
I mean, it just feels like this guy, once again, he doesn't have any follow through. He might be struggling with fear of success or fear of failure.
Or fear of failure, or just feeling overwhelmed by just getting started.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is a very common thing.
Once again, my thing though is like, this doesn't just start when you're 18. Like, he must have been just like this for most of his life. And now he just has no adulting skills. Like, I mean, it's tough because I'm not going to blame anybody. Nobody is responsible for your failures in life after a certain point except for you. But I do feel like at some point you should have taken ownership sometime in high school of your own life, right? Like, that's the time when most people start to do it. That's when you are getting really, really close to adulthood. And you start to make plans for the future, figuring out like how you're going to survive in the world. And it seems like you just never did any of that. It feels like almost like where you were is too comfortable. You didn't see anything that was motivating enough for you to do anything. You feel entitled to leech off your family forever. And it just never really registered, like, to the extent that they make a lot of accommodations and sacrifices for you. But between all of those different reasons, like, you got to figure out what it is and then find your own intrinsic motivation to get it going. Because here's the thing. I mean, besides that 40-year-old neat, like, I've just met enough of these guys and have enough of these type of guys in my family where they just never figure it out. And it's bizarre to me because it's not like they're the only person in the family. And yet, you know, the rest of the family will be really self-effective and go after what they want and try and fail. And the family's supportive when they fail, but they're trying, right? Whereas it feels like there's other members, and mostly men, almost entirely men, by the way, that just don't do shit. And I don't know why boys in particular have such a problem with launching.
Because for some of them, talking about it is as good as doing it. And it's something that I personally find deeply attractive in anyone, but especially guys, is if they're constantly talking about an idea, you know, just like how every guy wants to be like a podcaster like Joe Rogan or release a rap album, for example, and it just never happens. I just find that really off-putting.
Okay, even guys who want to be a podcaster and be rappers, like, listen, not every rapper is going to make it, but there's a lot of guys who rap that hustle, right? Like, they work so they can scrounge up money.
Or just try.
Yeah, exactly. They scrounge up money to record. They're selling their mixtapes. You know, they're trying to get booked at shows.
And if they fail, like, at least they show follow through.
This guy's doing none of that. Like, he's not trying at anything. Like, trying and failing to me is completely different from not trying, right? Like, this guy's not trying. And what I'm confused about is the guys that just don't try, because it's not the same as the guys who try but keep kind of fucking up or not doing well, because we'll still make fun of you for being a fuck up. But at the same time, it's like, listen, people. I mean, it is FTS, by the way. Yeah, we still be making fun of you if you're failing all the time. But like, at the same time, it's still like, yeah.
But at least you tried. It's that follow through. Like, at least you said, I'm going to try this, and you go out and do it. That is really attractive in a guy. But when I just don't like it when they just keep talking a year later, oh yeah, I'm aspiring to do this business. A year later, it's the same story. Or, you know, I'm still looking for a job. And they're just not doing it. Like, it's just very, very off-putting.
There's something noble in failure, at least. Or at least you'll learn a lot of things from failure that can help you be successful in the future. When you don't do anything, you learn nothing and your life is really in suspense. And I'm not saying failure is easy, but at the same time, I guess it's just like, I don't understand the psychology, and maybe this guy wants to like follow up with more insight after this discussion. Like, I don't understand the psychology of men who just sit in their mama house and do nothing for like decades sometimes. Decades. Like, that's wild to me. So I don't know.
I don't get it either.
Like I said, maybe it's their mom coddled them too much. Maybe they're a boy mom, or they just are way too comfortable because no one like lights a fire in their ass to do anything.
Yeah. I can remember actually when my brother had just graduated high school and he was looking for his job, like my mom like went in every single day. And it wasn't like he wasn't trying to get a job, but she sort of didn't let him rest until he got a job, and he found one very, very quickly, and he's been employed ever since. So that might be part of it as well, is that sometimes family members can let other family members get too comfortable, especially if they're not doing a lot. Like my brother was telling me that that was a big reason why I just wanted to get a job, just to get my mom off his back, basically.
Yeah, your mom needed to have like rode your ass like a lot harder prior to even turning 18. Not blaming her, but at the same time, I feel like this is how sometimes sons end up failing, because I don't know, if you just have a highly unmotivated, although like I said, like I think I've said in prior episodes, I know some NILFs like this who, or NILFs and NEETs whose mom have been riding their ass and then finally just, and their dads for that matter. So it's not even just a mom problem. It's actually like, what was that guy that had that Coomer collection? Remember that like collection of porn that was like $80,000 that he sued his parents for? I remember we did that way back when.
Yeah, they deleted it. Yeah, they deleted it. And he sued them.
Both his parents are riding his ass, and like they let him back in their house after he got divorced, and they were basically like, get a job, you mother, like get a job, you lazy fuck. And he just couldn't do it. He just decided to create a porn collection. So I don't know. Despite some parents' best efforts, some sons just turn out like fugazi.
Just failure to look.
Yeah.
Failure to launch fugazi. Yeah.
Honestly, like, yeah, anyways, let's keep going.
And so in my head, it will be excuses like this all the time. I'll start tomorrow. Today was a bad day, crap. And then I would ask myself, you know, why I played video games for 24 hours straight. I'm so hungry and sleepy, so I might as well binge a large pizza and start tomorrow. I was extremely irrational, emotional, and just chasing simple lizard brain pleasure. So yeah, I agree with Roe's assessment on what might be going on there.
It's kind of like when you're trying to be on a diet. Being on a diet sucks, but you need to eat healthy in order to not, you know, die of obesity or all your teeth rot out of your head because all you do is eat candy. I mean, I sympathize in the sense of like, yeah, it's sometimes it's really hard to get started with something hard. But on the other hand, it's like, man, you got to do something. Like, I don't know. Bring back shame. Were you shamed enough as a child?
That's another thing as well. Like shame, I don't know why people try to avoid it. Shame is sometimes necessary for positive change. So it continues. The plan was always to get a decent entry-level job, let's save up some money for a few months, go back to school for a quick degree to get a decent job, and then go back to school and continue the science degree that I did for 2 years. I just never acted on it. At 14, 24, he responds, I wasn't blaming my family for my problems. Like, I was just saying that if they wanted to help, being mean wasn't the right way. But your point is taken, and I agree with you, because I was no different than a typical scrope when I said that, and you gave a good analogy. It was the analogy of the scrope blaming his girlfriend and saying it was her fault he cheated on her. So I take those words back. Good.
I think also, just pausing here, I think at this point, legit, just me legit trying to help, like you need outside help, meaning it's clear for whatever reason, you don't have the mental, emotional, physical skills to achieve the things that you want currently.
And that's fine.
Yeah. Now your job is to find the resources that can help you to get to the places that you want. Focus on that first, because I think what you've been focusing on is like trying to will yourself into having all these emotional and social and life coping skills you clearly haven't developed. So the next, to me, like the step one before you get to that is find people who either do have them and can coach you, or try to find a way to find, get professional help so that they can help support you in this direction. Because I think it's the same thing as like trying to find a personal trainer or nutritionist when you just can't get your diet together, you don't understand what to eat. Like, I think you don't have the skills. You're probably a little bit far behind in developing the skills if you've been doing this for years. And so you're going to need professional intervention of some kind.
And that's not a bad thing, but I've just noticed that a lot of people, and men in particular, they're just very averse to asking people for help. And it's like, behind every successful person is a village of people behind them who are adding their skills, supporting them in different ways. Like, nobody knows everything, you know, when it comes to being successful. So there's no shame in asking for help. And like, relying on motivation, because I've struggled with binge eating as well, in an arena like that, relying on just like sheer motivation and wanting to do it is not really going to get you far. What you need is routine. And when you don't have, you know, something like a job or something like a degree or a course that you're studying to give you that routine, it becomes a lot more difficult to stick to any kind of healthy routine as well. So that's something that I would also consider adding, is basically need structure to your day.
You need structure. Join the military. I don't know. I mean, not a bad option, to be honest. You get free healthcare. Definitely get disciplined in the military.
You'll get fitter.
You can't afford any of these other types of options. Like, literally just throw yourself at something hard. And then just, if you fail and you don't do well, you'll still have picked up some skills. It's better to fail and, you know, maybe pick up a few skills than to not try at all.
So at 1535, I don't really know what he's responding to here, but he says, no, I had everything I needed. I knew what to do and I had the skills to do it. And my family gave me the time, support and multiple chances for multiple years. There was some BS from my family too. For example, they said, a marriage will fix you. That's what you need. Okay.
Oh no. Oh no. Don't be pawning your scrot sons off on the female populace.
Okay, I low-key think now, you know when I said in the previous episode that I low-key think his family are slightly tapped. Because if they're suggesting something like this, knowing that their son was like this, that they want to then palm him off to some poor unsuspecting woman, then they're low-key trashed themselves.
Yeah. Unfair. Don't. I feel like this is what happens when they realize, like, damn, we fucked up with this one. We need some woman to fix him for us. Like, oh God, this is what women talk about when we talk about hidden emotional labor and like the hidden economy. It's basically taking ownership of y'all's fuck up son so they don't shoot up the place. All right. Like, it's like, so they don't end up in the prison system. They stop leeching off their families, et cetera. Like, make some guys feel accomplished, but then their wife spends basically her entire life trying to make him less of a scrote, but at her great personal expense. So, like, his family is very typical in that, like, we know that this is what families do when they just realize, like, oh, our son is just never gonna, he's just never gonna be anything.
But the answer then isn't to then foist him off onto some poor unsuspecting woman to make her life hell. This is what I don't like. I don't know, just like sign them up to the military or something like that. They can go there, so, you know, let another man whip them into shape. Don't force him onto another woman. So, and they kept saying that I have to accept this marriage, but in the end it's all irrelevant. I put myself in that position. I just feel like I can never speak to my family again, that they will always view me as a loser. And even if I do accomplish my goals and they start being nice to me and saying they're happy for me it's going to feel fake. If I had come to them as a homeless person, they would have laughed at me and ridiculed me. And if I go back to them with success, they are proud. I'm like, well,
that's how it works.
Like, most parents are proud of their kids who've achieved something.
Yeah. Laughs in immigrant parents, like, oh, you mean like their love is tied to how well you perform? Yeah.
But it's not even that, though. I don't really know. But it seems like, again, I'm confused by this poster's account of events. So he acknowledges that his family gave him chance after chance after chance. So it's not like they didn't try and that they just like kicked him out, or they were, you know, super, super harsh, like some immigrant parents be, like, if you don't get 100% in a test. Like, doesn't seem like they were like that at all.
So I'm starting to think this guy just really needs to humble himself. And what do I mean by that? Here's the thing. I know it feels bad to be on like the bottom of the social order or totem pole wherever you are. But unfortunately, in most things in life, we all have to start there. Why does that matter? I think there's an overemphasis in society of like meteoric rises and like instant overnight successes, and everybody's figured it out. And sometimes they gloss over the part of a success story where that person was like sleeping on people's couches and like digging through trash cans and et cetera, like having to do very, very humbling, humiliating things just to get their feet on the ground. So I guess I look at it like your family being kind of condescending, but still letting you live there. obviously doesn't make you feel good. And I've had similar relationships with where I needed a job or something where basically I felt like a charity case and I hated it. So I understand the feeling of hating feeling like you're being a charity case and that everybody is like fake supporting you because they kind of feel bad for you or looking down on you in some way. Having grown up poor and having actually had been a charity case a few times in my life, it feels like shit, right? Like nobody wants to feel like people look down on them for whatever reason, especially for things they are out of your control. In this case, there's a lot of things that are in your control, but let's hypothetically say some of these things are out of your control. But here's the thing. You just got to humble yourself and slog through it. That's just the uncomfortable, unhappy thing that I'm trying to tell you to help you is that like, you'll just have to deal with your family being kind of condescending dicks until you get your shit together. And it's better to do that and then get yourself a foothold. And then it's irreparable after that. You can just leave, but at least you'll have some kind of footing. Or once you have better structure in place for your life, you can renegotiate appropriate boundaries with your family. Right now you have none and you can't demand any because you're not, you're right, that you haven't demonstrated any type of success or independence or anything that would cause somebody in your family to have respect for you. And they're being condescending about it because they probably don't know what else to do with at this point. So my thing is like, just suck it up. Suck it up. They're going to treat you like shit till you get your stuff together and get your shit together. And if you feel like it's irreparable, start demonstrating that you can and you can take care of yourself and then come back and put boundaries in place about some of the ways that they talk to you and treat you. But like right now, you have no legs to stand on and you're running away from it rather than like trying to work your way through it because you don't want to feel that like sense of shame because there's things about you that are shameful. But the same is like you have to work through that and you have to work on yourself. So I mean, that's my advice. Like, I think I understand what your problem is like now reading through this, but it's like all of us have had to humble ourselves beyond below where like is comfortable sometimes to get where we need to go. So just understand you're not special. Your family, for all intents and purposes, they're not like actively abusive towards you. So like, dude, you're lucky. Again, some of the stuff that I've dealt with and other people we've talked to have dealt with, like we were in really bad circumstances for which we had to humble ourselves because you wouldn't be able to take care of yourself at all. Meaning like you won't have a place to sleep. You won't have a place to eat, whatever. You have that. Your family is just a little rude. Like, dude, that's nothing. Like, it's just not that big of a deal. I know it sucks, but like literally, yeah.
It's like he flip-flops between acknowledging that they have a reason to be mad with him and then being upset that they're mad with him. So you're still not fully taking accountability here because it seems like from what you've said that this was a long period of you basically being an elf and being a drain on them as well. And so naturally as well, if they haven't seen evidence of you actually performing and actually succeeding at something, it's not unreasonable for them to lower their expectations of you accordingly.
Yeah, nothing about this says that they're wrong, right? So it just seems like you just feel shameful about your behavior and like too ashamed to do anything and also too ashamed to humble yourself through it all. And like, listen, like the best thing you can do is let some of those shameful feelings like roll off your back and do the hard things anyway. That's the best thing you do for yourself.
And so that was basically it. And he acknowledges at the end, so basically because of my actions, my relationship with my family is ruined. And I just want to leave all of it behind and move forward. Well, I hope that if you manage to get your shit together, that I hope you can reconcile with your family. And yeah, if they're not too toxic. But yeah, it seems like I appreciate the acknowledgement in some areas of your role in it, but I don't think you've gone far enough, to be honest.
Humble yourself and do better, you scrote.
Actually, just do something.
Showing up is half the battle.
And it isn't even just about being successful. It's also about having integrity and demonstrating to the world that your words match your actions. Again, like I've said before, it's deeply unappealing and unattractive when you have somebody who's talking about doing something, but they never do it. It's deeply unattractive. And ultimately, in like integrity, I'm not sure you're following FDS if it's because you want a relationship with your family or if you want a relationship with a woman. But having integrity will drastically improve all your relationships across your life because ultimately people want to be around somebody they feel they can trust. And the easiest and best way to build trust is to show to people that you do what you say you will do.
And life gets way harder than this. I hate to break it to you because, in fact, I almost don't want to tell you, listen, I'm going to have faith in you and say you're going to do all the hard things and get all the things that you want. And there's going to be way more complicated interactions to navigate after you just master yourself, right? So mastering yourself is the number one thing you have to do. And that's just going to help you with self-efficacy and get things that you want. And then after that, life actually gets harder than this, like a lot. So yeah. All right. So sorry for you. Do better. Moving along to our second.
On to the next.
Yeah. Our second story here is from Miriam. Hello there, queens. I hope I'm doing this right, but I'm married to the ultimate man-child and just wanted to share just how ridiculous it can truly be. Put on your helmets and buckle up because this is going to be one hell of a wild ride. Okay. So to begin, my husband claims he can't cook. We have been married for 20 years, and in all of that time, he has never, not once, cooked a meal.
Oh my gosh.
Bro, yeah. Yeah, let's pause.
Oh my gosh.
You should let him starve. I'm not kidding. Legit. Just let the man starve.
Did you know how to cook before you married him? But that's poor. Like, that is really poor. And I would not be surprised after 20 years, this is just weaponizing competence, because he knows that if he doesn't cook, then somebody else will.
Browning ground beef for Hamburger Helper is too complex for this guy. What does he do? Okay, what does the man do when he's not at work? Because I feel like there's a few life skills that most of us pick up just, you know, for basic self-maintenance. Like, you gotta eat, you gotta sleep, you gotta poop, you gotta have shelter. Eating is like life skill number one, I think. Being able to cook very basic things doesn't have to be fancy, but like, yeah, browning ground beef should be one of the top things you should be able to do as an adult. Quite literally, like, put it in a pan, add seasoning if you want, that's it, wait till it browns.
No, not if you want. Adding seasoning is a must. You don't want unseasoned burgers.
Yeah, I was trying to be generous, but you know what? A couple times when I've been really hungry, like, I've just thrown ground beef in a pan and then like ate it just like it is, no salt or anything. It actually tastes fine. It's high quality.
It's quite tasty, actually. I sometimes add a bit of tomato sauce and have like a lazy bolognese with some thyme and some spices. Yeah, poor man's food.
Browning ground beef for Hamburger Helper is too complex for this guy. He also doesn't know how to pick up after himself.
Aww.
Wherever he takes his shoes off is where they land, and that's where they'll stay until he needs them again. We have all tripped over them, but that makes no difference. If he sits down at the table for lunch and eats some salami and cheese and crackers, he leaves all of that food right there on the table, plus the knife and plate.
This guy just sounds like a child, like absolute child.
Yeah. What's his family of origin like? Like, does mom do everything, or?
Oh.
He sounds like he's used to having a maid or something. When we are finished with the meal that I, of course, always cook, he'll always say that he'll do the cleaning up and gets mad if I start to do it. But then he doesn't actually do it. Then he doesn't actually do it.
This is what I was saying earlier, that some men see saying they'll do something, it gives them the same like dopamine hit as them actually doing it.
In his mind, he's like a noble person who's sacrificing for his family, right? Like,
I mean, we laugh, but I honestly think I'll have to find a citation. I remember reading it somewhere that this is the reason why, if you're trying to start like a new exercise or diet regime, that people say don't tell like loads of people about it. Because what it does is that if you tell people that you're going to do something, it sometimes gives you the same validation as if you've actually done it, so then you don't end up doing it.
And then for him to get mad, like, how dare you clean out after me, and then just walk out of the room.
That's really manipulative and quite abusive behavior as well, like trying to make out like I was always going to do it, but then when she starts doing it and probably gets upset, he then makes out that he was going to do it all along. And they always make out that I was going to do it at the same time you start doing it. It's so manipulative.
This is the type of marriage that the last letter writer's mom aspired to give her son and some poor woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the dynamic that happens when his family's trying to pawn their low value son.
A failure to launch.
Yeah, their failure to launch that son off to some unsuspecting woman. This is the result.
Yeah, this is actually a good segue from the last one, because that is probably how her husband started off. Start off as a failure to launch, and then her parents and then his parents realize he should just get married, and then he can then become another woman's problem.
He always says he'll do the cleaning up and then gets mad if I start to do it, but then he doesn't actually do it. He lets it all get crusty for me to scrub the next day. If I do get frustrated from having to ask him over and over to do the same things, of course, then I'm a nag, according to him. Yeah. I'm nagging. I should be asking as nicely every time as I do the first time. He cannot deal with confrontation of any kind. So if there's an issue with insurance, a neighbor, a utility, I have to be the one to take care of it. Yeah. Last letter writer, this is peering into your future right now. He can't help me at the holidays because he's, quote, just not a rapper. What? He can't rap presents or anything.
Oh, so he can't rap presents. Okay. I'm not that good at wrapping presents, but then you can still buy a gift bag or I don't know, you can watch YouTube and just learn. Like, does this guy have a job outside the home? Like, you can just learn how to do it. I don't understand it. Like, Google is free.
There's this thing called YouTube and this other thing called Google. You can learn how to do anything. Anything you can think of is on the internet.
I have noticed, though, like, I might do an episode on this in the bonus content at some point in the future, but because I'm in quite a few career spaces and Discords, which are specific to UK careers, I have noticed that it's always generally the men who ask questions that you can easily Google. So they'll ask something like, oh, my tax code is wrong. You know, what do I do? You call HMRC. Oh, they've asked for a reference. Which email do I put down? Email address of HR. Like, these are just stuff that you could find out the answer in 2 seconds if you just Googled it, but they'll ask everyone else in the Discord. And it's like, can you not just, I don't know, just show a bit of common sense and just, it's always men asking the dumbest questions in that space. To the point where I'm just like, if you ask these basic questions, how do you even actually have a job? But it's not that they don't have the capacity to think for themselves. They just don't want to.
Yeah, that's what I'm noticing, because I guess I assume that the next generation of people would be infinitesimally smarter than the last generation because of the fact that you can go on the internet and find out anything you want to. Or that I think I assumed, like, yeah, men of a younger generation would be like more self-effective. They would be able to do more things because they have an advantage in that, like, as children, they had access to the internet to learn how to do very basic things. And instead, the opposite happened. It's like they just don't do it, right? Like, it's weird. It's weird because I didn't realize, like, how motivation in some respects is, like, inherent or an intrinsic to a person's personality. Because, like, there's a lot of guys, they'll never Google it, they'll never YouTube it, or they'll only Google it and YouTube it and never try anything. And I just realized, like, oh, that's a personality trait, and it's not going to change if you just have vast amounts of information at your fingertips. This seems like that. Okay. My sister had to come put up my Christmas tree because I had COVID. He took that to mean I was obviously well enough to have company over.
Oh my gosh. This is callous.
Clown. He throws tantrums like a 2-year-old child when things don't go his way. In fact, he once threw a side table through our dining room chandelier, breaking both items.
This guy's abusive.
Yeah. Pulling back on the comedy here. On another occasion, he punched our garage door until it would no longer open and close because our air conditioner wasn't working. Yeah, he's bad news. This is a guy that, if you think about, and I referenced this in our last discussion, think about your emotional social toolbox. This guy has a brick. That's all he's got. He doesn't have a hammer. He doesn't have a wrench. He doesn't have a screwdriver. He doesn't have glue, he doesn't have paint, he doesn't have nails, he has nothing. This guy is trying to do everything in life with a brick. Like, it doesn't work. Throw a brick at it. Hey, here's a job that requires a power drill. Well, I only got this brick, so since I'm not a power drill person, then fuck it. Like, whenever I see these guys who are emotional toddlers, like, that's what it's like. It's like watching someone who opens a toolbox and all that's in the toolbox is, like, a brick. Man, you never went out and bought, like, pliers or nails or screws or hinges or whatever else, right? Like, no, this guy was just like, well, I got a brick and that's good enough for me. And this is what this comes across as. So, yeah, but this sounds mad abusive, sis. So eventually I got myself a condo 3 months ago. Okay, good. He was going to go live in his mom's basement. He's 52 for reference. Oh, God. So 52 is like boomers or Gen X, older Gen X. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so this is a generational difference I noticed. The reason why he's so mad is because he has no life skills, but he also comes from a generation where that was expected of men to just, like, offload all this life skills onto women. So gross. Okay, so, but he moved with us over here because we have a small child and he wanted time to figure out what to do.
Small child? He's 52.
Yeah, curious about that. They've been married for 20 years.
Oh, anyway, poor kid.
So I'm assuming they got married sometimes in their 30s. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they adopted. So meanwhile, he acts like the schoolyard, or maybe she's much younger than him, which again, I'm going to guess that she's actually much younger than this guy, which once again, this is why we're kind of against age gaps.
What kind of? We are. We are. Not kind of.
We are. Yeah. Well, I'm like, age gaps over a certain point are not that big of a deal. If you were both in your 50s and maybe he's in his 60s, unless like, well, okay, unless he's looking for a nurse or a purse. But like, it's definitely a red flag. This guy's in his 50s and you have a small child. Like, well, I don't know. Maybe they had, okay, maybe she's like 5 years younger than him. And like, they had this kid when he was like 45.
Yeah, could be.
Okay. Okay. Maybe. Maybe the timing might work out. Okay. If you had this kid when you were like in your late 30s, early 40s. Meanwhile, he acts like the schoolyard bully, all while asking me to make him special dinners to help him lose weight. Oh no. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh wait, did I mention we haven't had sex in 6 years?
And he's a porno, and he's a kuma.
We haven't had sex in 6 years because of erectile dysfunction brought on by his raging porn addiction. Or that he said he would help me more around the house if I would make him a detailed list of what to do. Jesus Christ. Ladies, please marry a man. This shit is for the birds.
It honestly sounds like you have every variety of low-value man in this man that you married. I'm so sad for you. And I hope you get out, because this just sounds horrific. 20 years. 20 years. He's not changing. Like, he's not coming out of that.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. Abandon ship, because he's not gonna get better than this. All right, so A Tale of Two Scroats. I think I might retitle this episode that. A Tale of Two Scroats. This is like the scroats of Christmas past and future. I don't know.
I think the second one was a glimpse into the future, potentially, of the first one.
Yeah, no joke. And we didn't plan it like this. It just kind of happened coincidentally. But this is literally like, okay, look, first letter writer, you know what? This is like Scrooge getting visited by the three ghosts on Christmas Eve. I'm so serious. Like, this is like looking into your future, my man. Like...
This is like, basically, I'm not sure if you've seen the bit in Lord of the Rings where Frodo looks into the Palantir, I want to say it is, and he sees what happens if he doesn't destroy the ring, how basically the hobbits will be enslaved and the orcs will rule the earth, and along with Lord Sauron. This is your like moment in the Palantir movement to the first OP. That is your future if you don't change course.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's assuming you're lucky enough to get a woman to put up with you, to be honest, like for 20 years at that. Like,
to be fair, the scrow in the second story benefited from the fact that women aren't as enlightened to deadbeat men as they are now.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right, actually.
Most women would not put up with this at all anymore, unless they're really desperate to be married for some reason. Yeah, you got to develop some life skills before you're in your 50s, because it's really hard to make excuses. And I don't know how old the original guy was, but anyways, that's our show. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/female dating strategy, on Twitter for as long as it lasts at fem.strat, and also on the Female Dating Strategy website. And check us out on the forum if you want to talk about this episode. Also on Instagram @_thefemaledatingstrategy. Thanks for listening, queens, and for all you scroats. No one's coming to save you. Get your shit together. Die mad. See y'all next week.